Welcome to the Sit Rep, everyone. If you guys are jumping in for the very first time, welcome aboard and thank you so much for taking the time to listen. Guys, this is the Prepared Mindset Podcast. We do Sunday Sit Rep episodes typically once a month. So usually the first Sunday of any month, we will do one of these sit reps. We'll talk about current events. Sometimes it gets a little bit political. We don't always want that on every episode, but we do get into some of that, a little bit of that here on these discussions. We will, on occasion, like last month when somebody took a swing at, not literally a swing, took a shot, more accurately, at President Donald Trump, right? We had a second sit rep for that month because that was something that was obviously worth talking about, worth discussing, worth putting out there. So this week, or this month, I should say, for the sit rep, we have two items that I want to get into that I want to talk about. We're going to be talking first about the Venezuelan election and some of the, I will use the word or term, fallout to talk about kind of what's going on there. If you guys haven't been keeping tabs on that in the news, I haven't, you know, I'll admit I have not been keeping a super close eye on it, but I am aware of what's going on. And I'm going to talk about, you know, some of the parallels and things that we would probably, or a lot of people would probably like to see with what we're dealing with here in our country right now. So I don't agree with all of it, and I don't agree with all of what a lot of people are screaming for, but there are certainly parallels, and it is definitely worth talking about. Additionally, a lot of you guys are probably aware that there was an attempt by the Biden-Harris administration at a plea deal for some of these masterminds from the 9/11 attacks from, obviously, September 11th, 2001, when almost 3,000 American lives were taken in the terrorist attack on the World Trade Centers in New York. That was squashed, but obviously anytime September 11th comes up, I think it strikes a chord with, I would love to say all Americans. Unfortunately, we've degenerated to a point where it doesn't, but most Americans, right, when we hear 9/11 or September 11th, right, a lot of us are immediately zipped back, you know, just like that to where we were, the time and place, the thoughts, the feelings that we had, everything that was going through our minds, our souls, our hearts when we were living through that, you know, almost 23 years ago. We're about a month shy, you know, about 5 weeks shy of it being 23 years. So those are the two things really that I want to get into this week on the sit rep. And before we get into that, I want to say thank you to our sponsors. Prepared Mindset is a sponsored podcast, you guys. We're able to bring this content, our Instagram content. Yes, we have a YouTube channel as well. You guys can go check that out. But we have some very, very amazing companies that work with us so that we can continue to push our message, our information out to all of you on the various platforms that we run through. And I want to take a moment here. I want to tell you guys about these companies so you can go spend your money with good, safe, reliable, quality folks. First, I want to say a big, big thank you to Ben and Co. over at Custom Night Vision, you guys. It's never been easier to get into night vision than it is today. Yes, there are some sites that they offer financing options. You know, there's a ton of ways to do it. We don't always advocate for financing, but Custom Night Vision is there with their team. The website is customnightvision.com, and their mission is to provide the most transparent buying experience possible. Guys, we know that it's a lot of money. And Ben and team over at Custom, they know it's a lot of money. So they want to make sure that you guys are 110% satisfied with your purchase, whether that be, you know, some DTNVSs or the new MH1 from Lowlight Innovations, right? You're getting into, you know, a almost $10,000 purchase with a binocular housing, or maybe you are just checking out a single tube setup like the Tonto from Nocturne or the venerable PVS-14, which so many of us, myself included, have started with. All of those options and more are available at customnightvision.com. It's really cool. The homepage actually has two buttons right in the front of it, super big, can't miss it, where you can build out your very own night vision unit. So whether you're trying to build a monocular or a binocular, it'll branch you one of those two ways. And you can literally pick, you know, if your housing comes in flat, dark earth or green, you can pick that. Maybe something like some RNVGs or a PVS-14. Hey, it just comes in black. There you go. You can pick if you want, you know, mil-spec optics. You want super lightweight. You want the Photonis boom slang optics. You can pick and choose and build out your own set with the intensifier tubes you want. And you can even add on the accessories that Custom carries. So if you need a helmet, they carry Team Wendy helmets. If you guys need a mount, they have the Wilcox line of mounts available there. And if you need lasers, they have offerings from the great companies that put out laser products like Steiner, B.E. Myers, EOTech, L3, right? Lots of options there. Again, the website is customnightvision.com. And guys, if you have questions, No need to fret. There is a chat function built into the site. Very robust, very good. You can connect straight away to the team at Custom. So it's customnightvision.com. Huge, huge shout out to those guys and highly recommend you go check them out if you're starting to think about getting into night vision. I want to say thank you as well to HRT Tactical Gear, you guys. Their website, obviously, hrttacticalgear.com. Josh and I have been running their ARC belt system for, you know, 9+ months. It is absolutely outstanding, very rigid, very lightweight. And the pouch systems, which they've designed to go with the ARC system, are just, in our opinion, probably the best offerings that you can get. The perfect amount of retention straight out of the box. And a lot of guys, maybe you don't like that. You like, you know, strong retention. You want to have to fight with your mag pouches. Maybe not the best option for you, but I like a good blend of like worn in retention. And that's what their pistol and rifle mags are straight out. It's my absolute favorite offering. In addition to the ARC, they also make some really great light options, you guys. You can buy the light head. They fit on Arisaka bodies. You can also buy their actual weapon lights with their tail cap, the omnidirectional tail cap. It's a really cool option. Or a lot of people were asking, hey, we love this. We want it on a handheld. HRT makes handheld lights in an 18350 and 18650 option. Again, you guys, the website is hrttacticalgear.com. You can go check it out for yourselves today. Thank you now as well to 100 Concepts. Folks, man, 100 Concepts is crushing it. I was actually just looking through some of the stuff that I picked up from them. Their Chemlight kit, their Sling Hook kit, great options to fill gaps in your gear. So if you're somebody who's running a lot of night vision, the Chemlight stuff makes a lot of sense. If nothing else, when you're out on the range shooting, if you have access to a low light range, having Chemlights there is critical, either to, you know, use as indicators and markers for you and your buddies, or to mark a firing line or a safety line or any of those things. The Sling Hook is outstanding if you're spending a lot of time this summer rucking or hiking with your rifle and you want to save your neck from chafing from your sling. Great, great solution. As well as obviously their scope caps, the hex caps for the red dot solutions, you guys. Again, the website here, like we say every week, right? 100concepts.com. Head over, check it out for yourselves. Garrett, Jonah, and Pierce will take amazing care of you with those products. You guys support an outstanding small business that's making just some top-notch products. And last but not least here, I want to say thank you to RMA Armor. You guys, the website is rmadefense.com. So if you're looking to get in some armor plates and you don't want to break the bank, RMA is your one-stop shop, and you're not going to have to sacrifice on the quality. RMA does not have these issues. You see some of these companies flip-flopping right back and forth on NIJ accredited, not NIJ certified, not, right? RMA is American-made armor, and it is reliable, and it's not going to cost you, you know, $16,000, $18,000, $2,000, or possibly even more to get into level 4 protection if that's what you need. Alternatively, they have their level 3A plus plates. That's what I'm rocking. They're 2.5 pounds. They're multi-curve, very, very comfortable, you guys. And use discount code PreparedMindset5. It'll save you 5% off your order when you head on over to rmadefense.com today. So a big, big shout out and the heartiest of thank yous to those companies. It's so cool that we can steer you all to those folks and their great products and their awesome customer service. We have been customers of all of those companies before we ever worked with them here at Prepared Mindset. And I mean, they're just terrific. That's why we wanted to work with them. That's why we wanted to partner with them. Additionally, just really quick here, guys, if you are looking for some ways to support us, you can check out our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/prepared_mindset_pod. I just dropped a exclusive audio file on there, or I guess audio episode rather. It's a one of the perks of being a Patreon member is you get extra episodes, you get extra information and feedback. We also have downloadable targets. We have drills on there. There's long form videos that we can't put on Instagram that, you know, you can only get access to through the Patreon. And it's just another way to help support us. Additionally, you guys, if you would like to support us, go ahead and smash that like button, subscribe, follow, whatever you're listening to us on, whether it's Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Podbean or, you know, whatever pod index, you know, whatever platform you're on, go find that follow button, go find that subscribe button. Make sure you guys got that turned on for us. Those numbers really, really help when we go to talk about things like sponsorships and what we can do to bring better, higher quality content. And that's not just for the podcast. That's actually, you know, when we look at pushing into things like better video on YouTube, which is a major effort, and that's something that Josh is tackling. And we haven't heard from Josh in a while. We will very shortly. But, you know, We are always working towards bigger and greater things, and your guys' support, even in the small ways, you know, like us, follow us on Instagram, YouTube, on the podcast platforms, that stuff goes so much further than you guys know, and we really, really appreciate it. But let's get into the discussion for this week. Like I said, we got two major topics we want to talk about. And the first one we're going to hit on is the Venezuela election. And the term that I'm labeling to this, right, is the fallout that we're seeing. To kind of paint this picture, if you guys aren't super familiar with it, and again, I don't have a ton of in-depth information on this, but I do know enough about it because I want to talk about it, and then I want to relate it back to what we're living through here in the United States. So Venezuela's current political upheaval is due to the election, and a lot of people are looking at it kind of like we did 4 years ago, pointing the finger saying that it's fraudulent. We know that feeling, right? We as citizens of a country which is supposed to have a democratic, free, open election, right? We know those feelings. Now, we can't go back and undo the past 4 years. We can't. A lot of people have a lot of thoughts, have a lot of feelings around the certification of the results of the election, whether Biden actually won or there were issues with the Dominion voting machines. Like, I don't want to get into all of that. The point here that I'm trying to convey is that we know that feeling. We know what it's like to question the outcome of the election. So, Venezuelan President Maduro, I believe that's his last name, I think it's Nicolas or Nick Maduro, he basically stepped into the primaries last year, and he basically prevented his most popular opponent from participating in the election, and instead, I'm pretty sure I'm getting this right, insisted or installed somebody else to run against, right? And where does that sound like something we've lived through? The funny thing is here, right, we're seeing some parallels. You know, Venezuela is a very much right now living in a socialist country. They've had that president, Maduro. He's been in for a long, long time. Things have, and somebody posted, or there was an article I read, like showing the last like 20-ish years or so, Venezuela was like economically very, very well off and doing very well. And then over the last 20 or maybe it was 30 years, I'm not quite sure, things have turned more and more and more socialist in the country, and their economic condition has gotten worse and worse and worse. And the quality of life has taken a real tumble there because of this, you know, this administration and this political party, which is in power. What's funny with them saying, hey, this person can't run, but this other one can run for your opposition party. I want to decide who I'm going to run against. It's like rigging the deck, right? It's funny. It's kind of like what we're experiencing and observing with the Democratic political party here in the United States, fighting tooth, nail, claw, and potentially some other things, right, to stop Donald Trump from being able to run in this year's election, right? We are all very well aware that he was found guilty in New York of 34 felony counts for violations of campaign finance laws, which of all things to be found guilty of, I'm not trying to take away from the severity of it, because I think that the campaign finance laws are absolutely necessary and essential to serving the greater purpose of having legitimate and trustworthy and believable elections. But it's not like he killed 34 people. And we could look at some other politicians in this country, and there's a lot of people that believe that Hillary Clinton has been responsible for killing 34 people. Not to make light of people who have died, but I mean, you got to laugh a little bit to keep from crying sometimes, right? But the point is, right, you can see they did that. They were actually successful in blocking in last year's primary the opposition candidate that was most likely projected to not just beat them, but beat them by a lot. Now here, luckily, Donald Trump still got his party's nomination. He is still running. He survived an assassination attempt. He is, you know, he's going to do the damn thing. We have to wait and see what comes from the election, of course, but it looks like, from everything we can tell, he will be on that ballot. Now, the individual that was supposed to run, the Trump, we will call them in Venezuela, last name was Machado, and it's going off some like rough notes here and stuff I pulled off a couple websites. basically was not allowed to run, and they picked this Edmundo Gonzalez was the one who was running against Maduro. And then, you know, looking at the pre-election polling and stuff, because it's not just the U.S., right? Everybody does political polling. There are actually some very large companies, large groups internationally that are contracted in multiple countries to do polling work and to work as work on a consultative basis, right, to help for campaigning. Pre-election polling, which is actually illegal in their country, showed that Gonzalez had double the support that Maduro and his socialist party did, which is funny. But the Maduro-controlled election council handed the incumbent with an alleged victory margin of 51% compared to 44% support of the opposition. So basically, what they said is that, well, it was really, really close, but, you know, the incumbent won by 1%. He had 51% of the votes. He had just enough to win. So, like, hey, we are going to fix this up, and we're going to rig the game here so that we win, but we're going to make it really close to, like, kind of downplay it, make it not so obvious like we had here with the weird spikes in the amount of votes that were counted for Biden. Like, you guys can watch, like, the line graph, and then at some point, like, 11:30 at night, it just spikes by, like, 120 million votes or 120,000 votes or something, like, just crazy, right? Whatever that number was, I don't know. I'm throwing arbitrary shit out of the top of my mind, but you can actually find that line graph. And there's been comparisons made between other fixed elections in other countries across history where you see that sudden and unique spike that just seems so completely and totally out of place. So it's funny, they don't allow pre-election polling, but yet it happened anyways. The people took to the streets protesting the decision, kind of similarly to when Trump won in 2016. It was not peaceful protesting. It's funny, that stuff, when it's the liberals and the Democrats, at least here in the United States, right, that take to the streets doing not even remotely peaceful shit. They're destroying businesses. They're throwing Molotov cocktails and bricks and bottles and beating people in the street for wearing anything red, basically. It's like kind of like a gang war, like, you know, Bloods and Crips. So if you're a Crip and you see somebody wearing red, you just assume they're the other side and, you know, you do ill shit to them. That's what we experienced here in this country. But the Venezuelans took to the streets, and the president, Maduro, he sent the police out to clear the streets, which actually, there's a difference. I would say there's a distinction and a difference. Like, we have police officers in riot gear out to allow the protests, but to make sure it doesn't escalate to a point of severe violence. In this instance, the president sent out the Venezuelan police forces to clear the streets, like, to disperse people. You're not allowed to protest. You're not going to be out here. You can't do this. We won't allow it. And that, as you can imagine, led to some really violent clashes and just further escalation. It just made things worse. In my mind, when you have leadership in place that is all about squashing all of the protesting, they're all about not allowing any kind of, like, dissenting opinion against them and things, that is fascism. And I see a lot more of that, honestly, here with the Biden administration, as they go out of their way to, like, crucify anybody who has conservative values and is out protesting. And you see it in the media all the time, like, hey, you're protesting, like, here in Michigan, the state capital, why are you protesting wearing armor and carrying rifles? It's like, well, because it's completely legal. But why do you need to do that? Because it's completely legal. The same reason why a lot of you insist on having pride parades with sex toys for children. Unfortunately, right now, that kind of thing is legal. And from a moral standpoint, I would argue pretty strongly that one's actually a lot less moral than the other. Firearms have been a part of this country's history since before this was a country. Sex toys and that kind of thing haven't been. And we've, in both instances, I would say, done a lot to keep children from them, but only one side is pushing that shit towards children. You don't see the Second Amendment trying to actively give children loaded firearms. We push to teach and educate children to be safe with firearms, yes, but not like, hey, everybody deserves a gun. Here, kid, take a free gun. But I digress, right? Ultimately, and this is, like, really stupid, the Biden administration came out Thursday and declared that this Edmundo Gonzalez was the rightful winner of the election, saying, and this is a quote, "Given the overwhelming evidence, it's clear to the United States and most importantly to the Venezuelan people that Gonzalez won the most votes in Venezuela's July 28th presidential election." My question is, why the fuck does it matter? Why the fuck does it matter? Who cares what the United States has to say? Why are we consistently getting involved in other countries' political bullshit? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do our part when we have these just obvious, like, perversions of democracy in other countries and partner nations, but, like, why does it matter what the United States says? This is how we've gotten to this point where we are sending money, we're sending troops, we're sending resources, we're spending time. Time costs money here. You're paying these people that are working in these capacities. This is how we got to this position. We need to, in my opinion, take a step back from a lot of this. However, it is funny that the Biden administration came out and took the side of the rightful winner, considering, like we mentioned just a few moments ago, that their own election appeared and by all accounts will go down in the record books as tainted. There's not a lot of people that believe that the entire election was on the up and up. Even people who wanted Biden to win, common sense thinkers, people with a shred of human decency, critical thinking capability, look at it and go, well, yeah, that does seem a little bit weird when you look at the numbers and the statistics overnight. People who want, they really want the actual electoral system to work in the way that it's designed. So it's funny to me in that awkward way, not the ha-ha funny way, but just that given their own situation, they would come out and support the other side. I don't know. I just find all of that very, very weird. Like I said, I think that we should do more as a country to back out of those kinds of situations. But it's important to look at these scenarios, right? And Venezuela is, I mean, they're south of us, right? South America. They are, I believe, an ally country to us. I'm not actually sure on that. But when we look at the parallels between what that country is experiencing and what the United States is experiencing, it's very, very similar. The problem and the difference, not really the problem, the difference being is that we don't have a United States. Like, we are the U.S. There is no greater power that's going to come help us and step in if our election is soiled for a second consecutive time here. If, and I say this because, like, I truly mean, like, believe it in my heart. I do not think that Kamala Harris has a shred of a chance in hell of winning. I think she's incompetent. I think she, if you look at her polling numbers when she actually ran for the nomination back in 2020, she got 1% of the vote. She was below Andrew Yang, who got, I believe, 1.5% or 2%. She was literally polled as the worst Democrat candidate. And, you know, I think if she were to win, I would expect to see some of this protesting that we're talking about in Venezuela. But a lot of these experts are also coming out and saying that, you know, one term, like, so I don't know how they do their, you know, their government shit over there. But a lot of experts are saying that, you know, one term alone is not going to fix all of this. The country has a lot of work to do, and we do too. So I believe Trump's going to win this election. I do. And it's not like in day one when he rights a lot of the wrongs that the Democrats have pushed through because of their position holding the Oval Office. I don't think that's going to fix everything. Just like, you know, when Biden came in, it wasn't an overnight teardown of everything that the Trump administration had done for 4 years that built the country up. The stock market took time to go down. Interest rates took a couple years to go from the around 3% we were seeing on mortgages and stuff to like the sevens that we're seeing now. That stuff took time. Of course, Biden had the benefit of the global pandemic to exacerbate and expedite that process. But things are bad here, and it is comical to me that they have these ad campaigns that are run on, like, YouTube commercials and TV commercials and radio ads and stuff, right? Talking about how he has, you know, the economy is the best it's ever been. And I think there was a clip that came out where a reporter asked Joseph Biden, our current sitting president, right, what is your greatest accomplishment with this administration? And his response was, I cured the economy. And it's like, dude, your administration was the poison pill. And I don't give a shit. I work in finance. I deal with a lot of this stuff on a very regular basis. And most of you are smart enough to, without any of that, to have seen the drastic increases in things like everyday necessities, like gasoline, like groceries, like interest rates. Everything has gone up. That is not, Donald Trump put all that shit down. So you can say a lot of things about him being just a terrible asshole of a person, and he might be. I don't know the man. I see why people say they don't like him, but I don't see all the shit that it seems like people fabricate. But to come full circle or bring it back right to what we're talking about here, man, if he doesn't win the election, it's a very similar situation. People are going to take to the street. I think there's going to be an issue. There wasn't the last time because you can't win every election. We can't have 8 Republican presidents in a row, nor should we. It should be balanced. You know, I'm pretty sure I've said it on this podcast before, but if I haven't, I'll say it now. Like, I hated George Bush as a president. I think that George Bush, if not for 9/11, I think George Bush would have been a one-term president just like his daddy. I really do. I think that he was a terrible speaker. I don't agree with a lot of like the things he did in his policies. I think that him being president when he was one of the things that made it possible for Barack Obama to win, because by comparison, Obama, and I've said this before for sure, such a captivating speaker, right? Such a captivating speaker, very, very well-read man. Don't agree with a lot of what Barack Obama did for this country, but he was very presidential. He appeared very presidential and campaigned very well. So while Bush couldn't win re-election, everyone looked at Obama and said he's an improvement in every single way, and he's the first black president, right? That's a huge deal. So I don't know what's going to happen with our election, but if you guys pay attention to this Venezuela situation, I mean, that it could be an indicator of some things to come, right? Some foreshadowing, if you will. But I want to jump over now to the second subject, which is, and I'm sure more of you guys are aware of this than what we just talked about, there was a plea deal struck to allow for a handful of these assholes that were basically the masterminds of the 9/11 attack on the United States. There's a plea deal that was put in place to allow them to basically avoid the death penalty, which is just the best news, right? That's just fantastic that we're willing to give terrorists a fucking plea deal. And what it did, I think, is it just took the death penalty off the table. And I have problems with that for several reasons. One, I think those people should fucking die for what they did, because they would not take a second moment to think about killing you, me, or anybody else in this country. They orchestrated the attack. Obviously, they have no compassion for American human lives. I would say human life in general, if you're willing to commit mass murder on the scale which they did. And there were, let me see here, 1, 2, I think 3. I think there are 3 people, right? So Thursday, this past week, Thursday, they basically announced, the Pentagon did, and oh my God, the outrage from people. It was all over Instagram. I don't check a lot of the legacy media outlets on a regular basis. I did kind of do a little bit more looking and digging, if you will, than I normally do, because I just wanted to see how this was being reported. And from what I found, it's pretty across the board here. People were surprised. They were shocked. Now the full details of this deal or this, you know, plea agreement, it was never disclosed fully. So we probably won't, right? But according to the New York Post, the terms and conditions of the deal were never disclosed, but it took the death penalty off the table. 3 relatives of 9/11 victims were told by the Office of Military Commissions. And that's, here's the other thing is, like, we're paying for all of this. Our tax dollars are paying for these 3 guys to be housed in Guantanamo Bay. Now, I'm not saying they have like some plush life of luxury. Obviously, they're treated like animals. And again, while I don't advocate for violations of the Geneva Convention or anything, I just, as an American, I have nothing but malice in my heart for those 3. And I don't know how you could look at it and feel otherwise. I really don't, knowing that it wasn't just that they had a bad week and went and did something, right? This was orchestrated. This was planned. This was completely and fully intentional to kill as many people as possible in the most catastrophic of ways, that was to weaponize and leverage terror. People were afraid to fly. People were afraid to go into work in buildings that were taller than like 5 stories, because you see people on the videos jumping out of the burning buildings because they were going out on their own terms. It was terrorism at the highest level. And these gentlemen, and I struggle to even use that word, are parties responsible? What I do find a little bit ironic is that top Democrat leadership have been completely silent. We haven't seen good old Nancy Pelosi coming out and defending this. Oh, these men are entitled to, you know, blah, blah. No comments from top political leadership on the Democrat side of things, which is very strange. Or it's just that fucking obvious that you shouldn't have been doing this to begin with. Public enemy number one. I don't know what other label or way you could explain how people, the American people, even a quarter century later almost, feel about these three. Yes, we feel a little bit differently than we did 23 years ago. And by that, I mean that we have people in this country who actually denounce the remembrance of 9/11 because, and I've had people share it on like social media. I usually defriend them or block them. Oh, you shouldn't be advocating for us to feel the way we did after that. Think of how many Muslim Middle Eastern kids in schools were picked on and treated poorly because of this. And you know, there may be something to that, but why don't you address that the other 363 days of the year? Funny how these white suburbanite folks, and I say that as somebody who's a white suburbanite, you know, or half white, you know, suburbanite, we only care about these issues when we have the greatest opportunity to stand against it and denounce it. And then the next day it's like, don't fucking care. It doesn't make you right or wrong. It just makes you a fucking asshole. So, it is worth now saying too that, the plea deal was revoked by Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Keeping in mind, Defense Secretary Austin's appointed by the Biden administration. It's not like this was somebody who was sitting here from the Trump administration. He's like the last, you know, holdout that, you know, has any common sense left among him. But he did intervene. He did step in and he did squash this. Like, no fucking way. It's probably because of the public outlash and like just the very obvious and should be very expected reaction when this news broke that we were about to grant mercy upon these guys who, again, would not think twice about killing you, would never give you, your wife, your sister, your brother, your grandpa, your husband, your wife, an ounce of mercy. Yet we are expected now, a quarter of a century later, to act mercifully upon them. Absolutely not. And you can, and honestly, guys, if you disagree with me on this, I welcome the message. I welcome the phone call, the email, whatever. I don't. I feel, that's the way I feel about it personally. I mean, these people are terrorists. And like I said, just a brief moment ago, they forever changed our country in one of the worst ways you can imagine. They forever changed thousands and thousands of family lives, taking fathers away from children, mothers away from husbands, or mothers away from children, wives away from husbands, right? The only thing that bothers me about that is there was no explanation given on why he hadn't intervened before this point. I don't understand that. How does this kind of thing, a plea deal of this magnitude involving international war criminals, right? Because these are foreign nationals being housed in Cuba in Guantanamo Bay for crimes committed against the United States. How was this not run up the pole? And I know in all of this, Secretary Austin comes out smelling like a rose because he's the one that killed the deal. But where were you before? How did you not stop it before it got this far? Like, why? How did this happen? Now, I guess you could go full tinfoil with it and go, oh, well, Lloyd Austin is looking for running for some kind of office somewhere else, and maybe he's looking for a win. So this was all just a setup to restore some faith. And I mean, that's a bit of a stretch for me, honestly. But truly, I would like to know, A, who at the Pentagon was granted the authority to make this decision, and how did nobody stand up and go, absolutely not? And I guess my broader question would be, to what end are we doing this? Like, what positive comes from this? These men have been prisoners for, I mean, at least a decade. Like, I don't know when exactly these guys were captured, but it's been at least a decade. Any activity and cells and organizations they are tied to, I would assume to at least a greater extent, these guys are no longer relevant. They're not providing us information. They're not, you know, dropping a dime on their buddies to save their own ass. What valuable intelligence is at this point, and I could be wrong. Like, I've never worked in an interrogation capacity or dealing with any kind of intelligence gathering. I could be completely wrong. And I welcome that too. Like if you guys are listening to this and you're saying, well, actually that's, you know, there's this, 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 and this that come from having people even 10, 20 years after the fact, please shoot us a message on Instagram or send us an email. It's prepared.mindset.podcast@gmail.com. Like send me an email and let me know, hey man, this is it. I would love to hear that because I want a greater understanding, but I'm trying to make sense of this. And I think a lot of people are trying to make sense of it because it's so obvious what the public response was going to be. And I try to look at both sides, like what positive, right? What positive could have come out of this decision? Like sometimes the popular thing is not always right. And what's right is not always popular. You know, I try to observe that in daily life all the time. It's a good introspective motto to look at sometimes, right? I don't see a silver lining here. I don't see any positive benefits or productive benefits. I don't actually see anything that could be even construed or misconstrued as a benefit, short of if we look at some of the policy things that have gone on in this country, right, with opening the southern border, which is also hilarious, like to kind of take a left turn for a second. The Biden administration has gone out of their way, it seems. Like, there's just no other way to put it. They have basically gone out of their way to open our southern border as wide as is humanly fucking possible and to stack the deck in this election. I mean, there was a video I watched this morning of people lined up at whatever the Secretary of State or something in Florida to get driver's licenses. Illegal aliens, illegal immigrants that can be granted a fucking driver's license. And what do you need to vote in this country? ID. You need a driver's license. And I mean, at 6 a.m., this video was being taken and there were over 100 people in line, hundreds of people. And this is happening all over the country. So why, after flooding the country with Somali, it's not even like South American citizens or Mexican immigrants looking for a better life. And believe me, I have no problem with people coming here wanting a better life, but do it legally. My ancestors, my great grandparents came to this country legally as Mexican immigrants, and my family has worked very hard to build a good life here and done it the legal way. So I'm not anti-immigration by any means, but when you look at what's going on, this travesty that's going on the southern border, and then that activity where you're bringing in military-aged foreign males into this country, I would, it's not even by the boatload. It's beyond that. Millions and millions and millions, guys. And then now you're talking about releasing terrorist leadership that's guilty for the greatest atrocity that our country has experienced in the last 50 years, at least last 100 years ever. Some people would say ever, you know, this points to a lot of really, really horrible shit. And it's that our leadership for our country does not have our best interest at heart. And it actually looks like they may be working against the U.S. citizens to some capacity when you have these kinds of decisions being made. People who are these kinds of creative thinkers, they masterminded the attack, right? So I would say that's an apt term to use, is creative thinkers who are able to covertly plan these kinds of attacks on high-level scales. And why would you let them back out into the fucking, why are they still alive? That's my question. Like we have death row inmates that don't make it to 23 years. Why are these gentlemen who are not, by the way, in the prison system, it's a completely separate issue. When you are housing Guantanamo Bay, you're not just like a regular criminal who like killed a couple people and you're on death row. You're up there. You're the worst of the motherfucking worst if you're housing Guantanamo Bay. There was something that, at least while I was reading this, I came across, which I thought was interesting and want to mention in the same breath of this, is folks are now calling on Congress to pass the Ensuring Justice for Victims of Terrorism Act, which would allow these families to seek financial compensation from foreign sponsors of terrorism. So while we can't, because entities like Al-Qaeda and like Hezbollah and stuff, right? They're not actual entities by, at least for in like financially speaking, in the way that we would look at most typical financial entities, right? But you can look at places like Iran, right, that are state sponsors of terrorism that open up their borders and allow these training camps and facilities to be built. So this act would at least be a step in the right direction. And I have no clue what that looks like, honestly, how you sue a country like that and then how you actually kind of get them to fork over the money for these families. I'd be in favor of it, obviously. I think that the death benefits paid out from victims of terrorism is probably, I'm going to say, not great. I'm sure there are, like, the insurance industry is always at the top of the Forbes, you know, top 100 companies. Insurance companies are terrible. They're terrible to work with. They charge too much money, especially here in Michigan, because we have no-fault insurance for auto. So you guys want to look at the highest auto rates in the country. I don't think we are the highest, but I'm pretty sure Michigan's top 5. I think we're like number 4. It's disgusting what we have to spend on auto insurance compared to even states as close as like Illinois. So the compensation piece, it's never going to bring your family members back. It's never going to bring the loved ones back. It's never going to fill that hole in your gut. From not even from just losing a family member, because death is part of life. It's difficult and it's terrible. But we understand it. But to have someone taken from you and to know in their last moments that they probably suffered in catastrophic ways, which we could not even fathom and imagine, the compensation doesn't fix that, but it can alleviate the stresses. And if you guys have ever had to bury a family member, you're probably more aware of this. It can alleviate the stresses which come with living through and dealing with things like the cost of a funeral, like lost income, the list goes on, right? We don't have to make it about that, but it's cool to see that there's actually something that's being proposed, an actual act that Congress could at least take effective action with. Do I expect that to pass? No, I don't. I absolutely don't, because the Democrats seem to support foreign terrorism more than they do their own people right now. I pray that that's not true, but that's the perception I have right now. And if I'm wrong, like, I would encourage anybody to tell me, hey, you're wrong. The Democrats do lots of stuff to help people. Right now, they push their political agenda. I think they mask and veil it in terms of helping people, but I don't see where it actually helps. So, it's disgusting. The fact that we were going to allow this to happen, the fact that people in higher leadership, and here's the thing, is like, we're supposed to trust these folks that are elected and appointed to these offices, right? Oh, they're Harvard educated, or they went to an Ivy League school, or, you know, talking about Kamala Harris. Oh, she's to be trusted because she was a prosecutor and Trump is just an asshole. Like, I just saw, I voted an ad from a lady. I voted for Trump both times, but I'm voting for Kamala this time because he's a bad person. He's a criminal. And she is a prosecutor. Yeah, she's a piece of shit prosecutor who kept men in prison for cheap labor. That's like a documented fact. You can prove that shit. They just don't talk about it. And she's done a terrible job with the border, which is why they're now scrubbing the internet. Or at least I've seen that a lot. I have not taken the time and energy to dig into that. But by all accounts, it does look like they keep removing this border czar title, which you guys can go back and listen to other sit reps. They gave her that fucking title. They're trying to make it look like they never did to improve her position on this, because the border is a super fucking critical issue. I also find it pretty, somewhat concerning that we don't really know what, right, like if Biden actually agreed to step down or if he was coerced into not seeking reelection because he did so badly in the debate. It was hilarious. They're talking about a debate with Trump and Kamala, which they really should. We have, at the time, the date of this recording, we're going to release this on August 4th. So we are roughly 90 days out from the election, give or take a week or something, right? We're 90 days out. It's shit or get off the pot time, folks. This is all to say nothing of the fact that they went through the primary process just so then they could, you know, pull the rug out and drop Biden off the ticket to push their mouthpiece, which is Kamala Harris, into the front runner seat. Like, oh yeah, we don't actually give a shit about your votes. We're putting our puppet into the poll position here for the Democratic Party. So that's really fucking fun. That's really awesome. But you guys, hopefully you guys get something out of this. We do these sit rep episodes, or I do these because, I don't like to bring this stuff up on the regular podcast, and politics can be divisive. You know, I'm 90% of the time, or probably even better, I'm sure our guests share much of my political views, but it's just not, you know, we want to learn about other things. So these sit rep discussions are the opportunity that I have to share my thoughts, share my feelings, and also share some facts, some information that you guys might not know or might not have access to, or maybe you just enjoy the commentary on it, because these are the kinds of things that, while we shouldn't necessarily always focus on them, because it can just be the most depressing shit you've ever fucking dealt with in your life. Like, you can literally, I know a lot of people that during COVID, for instance, they like turned off their fucking Facebook or their Instagram feed because it was becoming so toxic. It was actually spiking people's anxieties and elevating stress levels, which at that point in time in our lives, like, was the last thing we needed, right? But we should be aware of these things, because these events, right? Like, so we're talking about the Venezuelan election, leading to protesting in the streets. Well, if you live in a place where protesting is likely to happen, you should be aware of it so you can follow it and track it and then have planning in place. Like, what I'm trying to say is there is a purpose served here by talking about this. You can then, you know, you build a plan. Hey, around election time, we're not going to be home. I'm going to plan to spend that week in Northern Michigan at my parents' cottage working remotely, because I have a feeling something bad's going to happen and I don't want my family around that in the event that there is. If all it costs us is the tank of gas to get up there and back, then that's really, really good. And we're away from home in the event something could happen. And in the event that something really bad does happen, you're able to get out of harm's way before shit kicks off, basically, right? So there's a greater point. It's not just me wanting to hear my own voice, although obviously running a podcast, I do apparently enjoy the sound of my own voice, and I hope you guys do too, and that's why you're listening. And if you liked this, make sure you guys please go hit we talked about the very beginning, right? The like, the subscribe, the follow buttons to help push the numbers up. One of the things that we're battling really, really hard right now is the algorithm. Our growth was outstanding for a while, and then in the last 6-8 months, things have really teetered off because the algorithm is suppressing us on all of our platforms. And it's not just us, right? It's the large channels too. The difference is the large channels have such a huge following. And I say channels, I mean like Instagram, YouTube, even Spotify to some extent, right? Because they have such a large following, their engagement is so much higher. There's so many more people posting on shit and everything that it beats the algorithm. It can't help but be the pushed content. Whereas you have the smaller entities like us that, because we don't have all of that engagement, we don't have people commenting and replying and commenting and reposting and sharing it and everything, we just get completely squashed and choked out by the algorithm. So please, seriously, if you enjoyed this at all or you enjoy our content, make sure you guys hit those buttons. Or if you're on multiple platforms, do it on multiple platforms. All of that stuff, views, follows, likes, it all really, really helps us. So take a minute if you could and help us out. But truly hope you guys enjoyed this week's sit rep, or this month's sit rep. God, I gotta get that shit straight. Enjoyed this month's sit rep. As I say, you know, we will have multiple of these in a month if there are things that are worth talking about. God knows, as we get closer to the election, we very well may. So with that, you guys, I am finito here. You guys stay safe out there. Enjoy your summer while it lasts. We're kind of winding down. I cannot believe we're already in August. Got a great episode coming up this week that is actually going to deal with some very, very current events, but from the scope that we apply to the normal podcast discussions, I think it's really going to be worth your guys' time to check out. But until then, you guys stay safe out there. And like we always say here at The Prepared Mindset, work hard, train smarter, and be prepared.